There are a few things in life that are just undisputable facts. One is that we cannot control the fact that we are getting older. With every birthday that passes, we take one more trip around the sun. But even though we can't stop ourselves from growing older, we can control how we do it. For some along this life's journey, you may have found yourself alone, but you do desire to have companionship and intimacy. But we've been talking recently about aging and debunking some of those myths around it, and we've been talking about dating, getting into relationships when we're, over 40 in our 50s. And a lot of people still wonder, is it possible to find love in your 40s, 50s, 60s, or even older? Returning to help us answer that question and more is one of Let's Coach's favorite guests. It is the easy dating coach, Mike Goldstein. Now, Mike has one of the highest success rates in the country and has helped thousands of men and women find and have happy, healthy, and loving relationships. Now, before we get to that, hello and good afternoon, evening, or morning, wherever you are, whatever time it may be for you when you're listening to this episode. My name is Carolyn Owens, and I am the host of Let's Coach. Now, Let's Coach is the show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life. And we talk about what coaching can do for you. We bring you some great small business ideas and some good news stories. And we bring you stories about people who are paying it forward in their everyday lives. Now, when I'm not hosting the show, I serve to help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your career, your business, your life, or your income. So you can find out more about me by going and visiting what I call my connection hub, and you can just go to carolyn360.com. And there you're going to find my social media profiles, my website, everything you would need to connect with me, you're going to find right there at carolyn360.com. And I encourage, so we've been putting out a lot of episodes lately. We did just take a quick week off where we kind of did some traveling real quick. But if you don't want to miss an episode, I encourage you to subscribe on your favorite listening platform. And that way you'll always see what's coming and you'll be able to get opportunity, to check out some of the shows we've done in the past. Speaking of shows we've done in the past, on our last episode, we did have with us Mary Hyatt, who is a life and business mindset coach, and she's also the host of the Living Fully Alive podcast. And one of the other cool things about her is she, became a presidential diamond with doTERRA, the essential oils, which isn't an easy thing to do. She built her team and she did very, very well, very successful with doTERRA essential oils. So the episode that we did together was Undeniable Power, the Undeniable Power of Femininity in Business. And I encourage you to check that episode out. I believe it's episode 142, I believe, if you can check it out right there on any platform. And we talk about, is there a place for femininity in business? How do emotions play into the workplace? You probably heard the phrase, was that there's no crying in baseball, there's no crying in the workplace, right? You got to leave all those emotions out the door. So you want to definitely check that episode out and see what we talk about there. A lot of good strategies and things for both men and women. Femininity and the character traits, we didn't discuss just how it applies to the female gender, so you want to check that out. Now, if you've also been following the show, we have been talking about aging and trying to debunk some of these myths around it. And we had Alana Pratt on here not too long ago. Now, if you don't know who Alana Pratt is, she is a global media personality, and she's the go-to authority for those who've suffered heartbreak and are ready to live unapologetically and attract an open-hearted, ideal relationship. And with her, we discuss dating after 40, finding the one during the era of COVID-19, and she talked about her dating app that she's putting together called Heartmates. And so that was from a, you know, that female perspective when we're talking about dating over 40. And so you guys know I like to balance things out. And so we have, as I said, coming back here with us, the Easy Dating Coach, Mike Goldstein, and he is going to share with us that male perspective. And so he should be joining us any moment. And I actually got a couple of questions from people in this one that they wanted to make sure I asked Mike and kind of engage in the conversation. So this is going to be another very, very good episode. And I believe Mike is with us now. So I'm going to turn on Mike's mic.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. Welcome back.
It's so good to be here. How are you?
Awesome. I'm so happy to do this interview. It's always great to have you on the show. And so since we had you on the show last, we are actually growing. So we have a lot of new listeners, and they may not be familiar with you yet. So can you share how you became a dating coach?
Yes. Oh, boy. A long story. Well, we'll give you the bridge version. Basically, I was in and I fell in love with this beautiful woman, and I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with her. And then she cheated on me with one of my very close friends. And so I was devastated. I was crying my eyes out for 3 months straight, barely got out of bed. And then I'm like, hold on. What happened here? So then I grabbed some books, and I realized that I didn't understand women at all, Carolyn. And so that led me on a journey of learning everything I could about dating, relationships, sex, women, online dating. And eventually, I got better at this stuff. And then one of my friends, who was a 30-year-old virgin, asked for help. I got him into a relationship. He finally lost his virginity. Then I got 7 people married, and then that led me about 6 years ago onto the Today Show. And then after that, I had an online dating methodology that was getting 83% of folks into relationship. And that got me hooked up with Match, OkCupid, and eHarmony, where they were like, no one's this successful at online dating or even close. Would you tell us what's happening? So I did, and then they started sharing their data with me, and now for the last 6 years, I've been using their analytics to help people get into relationships in the most efficient way possible. And of course, still working with folks that are married in a relationship that want to improve it.
You know, and it's in this day and era and everything that's going on, this is one of the, I often hear, the most difficult areas for people right now, they that were single or wanting to pursue a relationship. And now, you know, for our audience and listeners, depending on when you're listening to this, right now we're in this era of COVID-19. And so there's been quarantines and we've been isolated. And so, you know, the way we date, the way we meet people has changed. And so that's what we're going to be talking a lot about today. But, you know, people think of a dating coach and they think of a certain age range, like they're either in their, you know, 30s and they're trying to kind of learn things. But what was that age range of clients that you actually work with?
I'd say my most typical client usually ranges between 40 and 70. My sweet spot at the moment is I've really been having a lot of success with folks over their over 60, so like 60 to 67.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I can work with anyone. It's just for some reason, the baby boomer group, we just really hit it off, and it's been going well with those folks.
And it's, you mentioned, because I've, you hear a lot of people who are like in their 60s or, you know, even 50s and 40s who are like, I'm done, I'm giving up because dating is too hard. But you're telling us you have people who are in their 60s who are reaching out to you who are like, I'm still in the game. I still want to date.
Oh, absolutely. It's such an amazing time, Carolyn. I don't remember when you and I did our first interview, but if it was probably like 2 or 3 years ago,
yeah,
I had to turn people away in their 60s because I would go look at their zip code online and there just wouldn't be that many people for them to date. But now I go on for most people, especially near a city, and there's hundreds, if not thousands of people, even, you know, 65 to 70 for them to date. So now there's options. And so it's really exciting. And it's a great opportunity for folks that, you know, didn't think there was people out there for them to date, that now there's a lot.
What do you find is that biggest challenge when clients that are over 40 come to you? What's the biggest challenge that they're facing when it comes to dating?
I mean, a lot of the time they've been divorced or widowed, and it's like, I haven't dated in, you know, 10 to 30 years. I forgot how to do this thing. And it's a whole new world. Like, online dating didn't exist, you know, 20 years ago. So it just confusion with what to do and how to do it. So I try to help them with that.
And yeah, it is a different world when someone hasn't been dating for 10 years. That's a decade. So much changes, you know, from where you go, what you wear, what opportunities are even available anymore. How do you help with that mindset? Because it's got to be hard for someone, especially if they were in a relationship and everything went sour, you know, how do you help with that mindset to be like, okay, there is somebody out there for you?
Absolutely. You know, I kind of, I hate to say this, but I try to take the emotion out of dating, which is very difficult because dating is a highly emotional event, right? But what I want to do for my clients and for everyone listening is make dating a big science experiment and a big math problem. And we try to figure out how many people we need to get a hold of to get you, you know, the amount of dates you want to get a week. So maybe we want to go on one date a week. And ultimately, if we're doing this right, I've found through my system, you need to meet about 6 to 8 men to find someone you like. So if we can get those men and just then also once we start dating, you know, don't get too emotional about it. Be like, until he gets me on date 6, I'm not going to worry about whether I like him or not. He's got to get to date 6, and that's when he becomes a credible person, or, you know, a woman as well, if a man's dating a woman. Till we're on date 6, it's just a science experiment. You know, I'm going through the motions of I've got some people, I'm funneling them down to get on dates, and once date 6 I really like them and we're still together, then I've got a serious contender that I can invest in.
So you were saying that it takes about 6 to 8 people that you're, is this people you're actually going to meet in person or 6 to 8 people you meet online that, you know, before you find that person, your person?
Yeah. So you're going to be talking to a lot of people, but the 6 to 8 is 6 to 8 that you actually meet in person. So you meet 6 to 8 mm-hmm. folks, and I'm expecting at that point you're going to like one of them.
When it comes to being online, though, a lot of people, we're this, in this kind of instant gratification kind of world where we want quick fix now. Is it, do you meet someone that fast online, or do you have to, you know, scroll through and through, or I guess swipe?
That's such a great question. You kind of got to figure out kind of where you stand in terms of supply and demand. Like, I've had clients that, for example, will send 50 messages to 50 men, And, you know, if she's a total knockout and a total package, sometimes we get back 20 to 30 responses. And then other times I might get 0 to 2. And then we've got to send 100, 150, 200 messages. So depending on your supply and demand, so if you've got, you know, 10 to 30 options, then I would suggest trying to weed through it so that when you do invest your very valuable time on one of these guys, you make sure you've got some compatibility, you've got the same values. So you ask a few questions that are very important to you, to what you want, so that you get on the right dates. Versus maybe if you have less options, there's less questions and you're more open to give it a try. Now, you're still not bringing down what you ultimately want, but you're trying to get yourself out there, trying to give yourself some opportunity. But ultimately, no matter who we're talking about, the right person has to be the right person. But we want to get something going to maybe give you some opportunity to see if that could be the right person.
So
that makes sense.
When it comes to it does, and we're going to kind of get a little deeper into all of this as we go through this interview. But is there, when you're looking online, or even, you know, you casually meet someone in person, is there a difference to the way you need to approach this if you're, you know, in that 40, 50, 60 age range? Is there a way to approach this differently?
Great question. If you're using my system, which is a high volume system, I've coined it, we call it either the bond method or the 50-12-1. Which is, you know, where we're messaging 50 people and we're messaging 50, for example, a woman's messaging 50 guys and we're expecting about 12 of them will want to, you know, go on a date. And then we pick one every week and then we repeat that 6 to 8 times to find someone you like. That method should be used for folks in their 20s all the way up to their 80s. This system we've tested across pretty much every demographic, every part of the globe, from Vietnam to Australia to England to France to the United States, all over the United States, to Canada, Mexico. Literally, I've used this everywhere, and we have found this to be the most effective way, period, and we've got the data to back it up. This is how you do it.
So I think part of the difficulty is that. So, well, let me ask this question first. Now, the studies and statistics show that it's very, very rare for a woman in her 50s to find a man to be in a committed relationship. Do you find that to be true with your experience?
Could you repeat that? I didn't understand the question.
So there's a lot of studies and statistics that show that it's rare for a woman once she gets to her 50s to find a man, you know, that she's not going to be in this committed relationship. So hang it up. You see these in news stories. You see it all over the place. Do you find this to be true, that you get to this age of 50 and, you know, she might as well just go buy 5 cats?
Yeah, I think a lot of that's anecdotal. Because it's entertaining for like the New York Times or the Washington Post. It's frankly not entirely true. It's not telling the whole story. There's plenty, and trust me, I talk to them all the time, 50, 60-year-old men that are dying to be in a committed relationship. It's more entertaining to talk about the sob stories than sometimes the happy endings.
We do that.
Yeah.
We do that as a society. That's more entertaining.
But 100%, there's guys that want a relationship. And I know there's plenty of listeners out here that are going, you know, we saw the Hugh Hefner mentality of, you know, men in their 60s trying to date 30-year-olds or whatever, and that nonsense. And, you know, that's fine for some people. But I think a lot of the listeners want people that are age-appropriate. And disregard the men that want to date someone that's not you. That's not your guy. And once again, back to our science experiment, our numbers, that's why we're sending 50 messages, so that we can have 10 or 15 guys that want to date younger. And we don't care about them. They're just one of the numbers that doesn't get to our 6 to 8, you know, date column. So that's why this is a big numbers game, a big math thing. We disregard. If it's a no, that's great. really the ones that should upset us are the ones that are maybes, because maybes waste our time. If it's a no, great. If it's a yes, we'll keep moving forward. But maybes, when there's a time suck and time's our most valuable asset, that's when, you know, we can not be so happy.
Is so with the whole, you know, I am so skeptical. I'm one of those people with online dating, like, does this really work? Is there a site that's best for people over 40? I mean, there's so many out there right now. You know, is there one that seems to be had the most success for that age group?
Yeah. So the facts of the matter is, if you do online dating without spending a lot of time studying how to do it, what's going to happen is you're going to try it, hate it, and then quit. Or you might get really dumb luck and find your guy somehow or find your woman. 95% of people that I speak to over the last 10 years hate online dating. And it's just what it is. No one likes it. But then when people hire me, 95% of people change their mind and say, wow, this is actually not so bad. So you kind of need to do it with a system. In terms of what site to use for over 40, if you're using the right system, if you're affluent, college educated, looking for a business professional, Match.com is the best by far.
It's funny because we're doing this. This is for the audio interview and everything, and my facial expression just went, huh, because I, you know, from people I know who've been on the different platforms are like, Match was such a horrible experience. But listening to you, it's because they didn't really know how to do this right.
Yeah, I mean, even myself, when I've done online dating for myself, like, I don't necessarily love it. And I'm the guy who is promoting online dating and the coach for it. Like, online dating sucks. And so for all the listeners, I'm with you. Even though I'm like, I train people on it, it's not fun. It stinks. Like, you'd rather be playing soccer. You'd rather be doing anything else. But I've spent time to figure out how to optimize it. And I've done the research and sat with the data and had, you know, lots of people work on the data for me. And now we've optimized it. So we can make it less sucky for you.
That it could be making it, as you said, it's a science experiment, like an adventure. You're going to get to this relationship you want, you got to take this journey. One of the questions that came up when I was telling someone, hey, you're going to be back on the show, is this whole thing about online dating and catfishing. And so I promised I would ask this question. And for some people, if they're new to this, they may not even know what catfishing is. So can you kind of, you know, from your experience and years of working with this, is there a way to avoid catfishing, and what is it?
So first of all, catfishing is pretending to be someone you're not. So creating a fake online persona, which, you know, definitely happens. The big ones are always meet someone in a public place. Mm-hmm. Don't spend too much time talking to anyone. So don't have a pen pal for months because they may not be real. So the whole point is, you know, meet them or do a Zoom call or something somewhat quickly so you're not wasting time. The other thing is never, ever send money. If they ever ask for money or a credit card or anything, that's not good. And you'll notice, sometimes things don't add up. Like, they could say they're a PhD and then their grammar is, like, absolutely terrible. And they say they speak English, but it's not great. That could be a scam artist from, you know, some other country that's trying to get money from you ultimately or get your information to eventually get money or your ID. So just be careful. Is that helpful?
It is. I mean, because that was the one thing that it just, she has the profile, she's created it, and it just seems like that it's so much silence. it's the crickets. You don't hear anything. You'll send out a message and there's nothing. Or then you'll get someone and you find the person is definitely, it's not adding up. It doesn't seem right. Unfortunately, she's being very observant, trying to pay attention to the signs. But I think that's part of what holds some people back from online dating is this whole thing of catfishing and scams. Because, of course, that's the part of online dating that's often highlighted is everything that can go wrong. You don't hear the, you know, the good stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't let that hold folks back. I mean, in the 10 years I've been doing this and working with lots of people, I think maybe there's been like, I mean, there's been minor catfishing where they're a few years off. It's really, I don't even know if I'd call it catfishing, but maybe some minor lies where, you know, they show up a little heavier than their pictures. Their age might be a few years different. There is a lot of people that lie online, but it's usually pretty small lies. But with that being said, I'd say about 97% to 99% of folks when, you know, they represent exactly who they are. So most of the time you're going to be going on dates with the person you think it is. And most people have good intentions. You know, for the most part, people have good intentions and want to do the right thing. So, you'll be safe. Go to meet in a public place.
So someone creates, you know, and we're mainly focusing and talking about people over 40 today. And so they create this profile and they say, oh, wow, that, you know, that seems like a good profile. I looked at the picture and everything and I want to reach out to them. What's that opening liner? Because people don't know what to say, and that's another thing that gets them stuck. It's all they can think of is, you know, whatever I say is going to be just way too corny and no one's going to say something back to me. How do they initiate the conversation?
Are we doing a woman to a man or a man to a woman, or what do we want to,
well, let's say a woman to a man, what would she say?
Perfect. So this is going to be very different than the opposite approach. As a man and knowing men, we don't need some very specific message. We don't need it well written. We don't need. So you can get away with just saying something like, hi, I hope you're doing well. How's your week going? When you get a moment, let me know if you'd like to go on a walk, grab a coffee, get a drink, whatever you're into. And then, you know, Carolyn, and sign off. So then what the man's going to do, and I want you to send this to about 50 people and copy and paste it. Men can't do this. Women can do this to men. Send a lot. We're hoping to get you 12 options, and then you pick one. So I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. What were you talking about?
That opening message that you send to someone.
Oh, yeah,
so
just send the message. And what the guy is going to do once he receives that message is he's going to look at your pictures and read your profile. So the first thing is pictures. As long as he's attracted to you, which most guys are attracted to most things, then he reads the profile. And if it seems like there's a lot of things in common as a man that's looking for a partner, then he'll be receptive. Does that make sense?
It does, but if you're a woman and you're saying, hey, let's meet somewhere the first time, or, you know, is that perceived as, oh, well, you know, she just trying to hook up, or, you know, what is this, that she's initiating let's meet?
I don't think a man should make that assumption. He certainly can. But I would put somewhere in the profile that, you know, I'm looking for love. Like, I'm so excited to find my partner in crime. So then it's very clear. And a man that's
okay,
looking to get laid is probably going to read that and be like, ooh, this sounds like a lot of work to just get laid. Maybe I don't want to, you know, go down that route. Versus a woman that doesn't say that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so if it's the opposite, what would a guy say to a woman in the opening?
So a guy has to do more work. Women are typically the receiver of messages, right? And they receive a lot more messages than men. Like, for example, like I receive maybe 2 or 3 messages a month versus a woman could receive, you know, the very attractive women receive 10 a day. So that could be 300 in a month. So a man has to read her profile, and then he should only really write to women that actually make sense for him. Like if she's talking about, you know, her love for Pokemon, and you could care less about Pokemon, that's not your woman. But if she's saying, you know, I love playing soccer, I played soccer my whole life, and I'm into nutrition, and, you know, I like to study John Gray and Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and all these things are aligned to something like, for example, that I like to play soccer, then that's the woman I should message, and I should ask her something specific about her profile, and then we can get a conversation started.
You've mentioned a lot of times you've referenced like that, the, you know, this attractive woman, you know, but most women aren't these model looking kind of, you know, women posing in these outfits and handbags and everything. What about the average everyday woman who is, you know, if you look at, again, stats, slightly overweight, 5'4", 187 pounds is the average, I think. What about her and, you know, her reaching out? Because we get focused so much, and I get, yes, the first thing men are going to see is what a woman looks like. But, you know, how does this average woman come onto the platform, which is, you know, she's still gorgeous and beautiful, but she's not this model material?
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, there's a ton of men that are the average too. And so the bottom line is there's a lid for every pot. So it's the same process. It's the same 50-12-1. You know, if you're, for example, you know, if you're 500 pounds and, you know, don't have a great job and don't have much going on, instead of sending 50 messages, you may have to send 200. So it just, once again, still a numbers game, same process. And you just need to see how much activity, as long as you can get, the end result is getting one date per week. So however many messages to get you that one high-quality date per week is what you need to do. And then you just need to repeat that 6 to 8 times with, you know, ideally you've got the professional pictures, you've got the well-written profile, and hopefully all of this is done with professional help. But if not, you've at least maybe, you know, tried to put something good together, and then you're going to get positive results.
Is that something you help individuals with, is like looking at their profile and saying, that ain't going to cut it? Or, you know, here's how you can improve. Do you help individuals with that?
Yeah, I do everything with the person. So I hire a professional photographer for them that specializes in online profile pictures. I work with a national company. And then for the profile, I share my screen and I rewrite the whole thing with them. So it's not, that's why my success rate's so high at 83%. It's not like, hey, watch a video, here's a handout, good luck. It's, I'm logged into their account and we're doing it together.
So when you, you know, get over 40, over 50, for women, body changes. A lot of insecurities come up. You may have had a couple kids. You know, there's a lot of changes, and you get kind of stuck in this comparison trap and what you may see out there and everything. So insecurities come up with this whole process, be it if you're dating online, if you're dating in person. How do you, when you're working with someone who gets, and even men there, as they, you know, get a little older, there's some men who are terrified of growing bald or even, you know, having gray hair when they've had that beautiful head of hair all their life. You know, what, you know, how do you help someone kind of, that emotional piece that goes with this that gets them stuck?
Yeah, I mean, and I can totally relate to that. I'm 36 at the time we're recording this, and you know, I used to have this amazing physique. I was a semi-pro soccer player. I looked great. You know, I was weighed probably 185, and then I ballooned up to 230. So I put on an extra 45 pounds, and it wasn't all muscle. So I had like the quintessential dad bod, and I'm starting to think, man, I used to look pretty good. And so I get it. I feel self-conscious. I'm like, all right, I got a little belly here. It didn't used to exist. But at the end of the day, that's not the whole equation, right? You've got to be, the person's got to be attracted to you. We know that. But the thing about, you know, getting older is you have more life experience. You have less insecurities. You've come to terms with what's happening. And there's less games. There's less bullshit. So the man that's in his 50s and 60s dating a woman in their 50s and 60s, he's excited about your essence. He's excited about that conversation, about your worldly experiences, about the fact that you probably traveled all over the world, that you've had a full career, that you've raised children, that you've done so many things. He's not going to get that if he wants to date some 20, 30-year-old. And so he knows he's getting this sophisticated woman, not, you know, for example, like a little girl. He wants to date a woman. And as long as you look at yourself and you're able to say, I look good and I love myself, well, then he can love you. So, you know, I don't necessarily specialize in helping women that don't love themselves to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm more, once you already love yourself, like I'll help you find the guy. And I'll do a little bit. Like if you're, it's okay to be anxious and it's okay to be self-conscious here and there. We all are. I am. But as long as you can say, I love myself, then, you know, you're going to be a very viable candidate. Some guy's going to fall all over himself for you. There's a guy out there for everyone listening on here that wants it and loves themselves.
So with that, and so if you're at the point where they're coming to you and they are ready or feeling good about themselves, so when that little insecurity about pictures and having those like having a full body picture or something like that on their profile, they'll hesitate, and it's both men and women, because they're not that, you know, young soccer player that they used to be. Should they still put these full-length pictures up?
Absolutely. Actually, it's the ones that kind of conceal. It kind of shows off their insecurity. I'd rather, and I've worked with plenty of women that are overweight, and they end up getting a partner. You know, one of my clients that's on my website, Isabella, is quite a bit overweight, and she's been married now for 4 years. It's,
oh wow,
you know,
congratulations,
there's a lead
Isabella
for every pot. Yeah. And I assure you, Nick, her husband, doesn't care that she's got some extra weight. He loves her and he's attracted to her. With that being said about pictures, can I add one thing?
Of course.
The most important piece of pictures is your face needs to make up 8 to 15% of the surface area of the entire photograph. So pretty much all your photos should be full body shots.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of coaches saying you need a headshot.
Right.
They are 100% wrong. They do not know what they are talking about. They have not looked at the data. The data on multiple sites suggests that you need to be a good distance from the camera. You're going to get more messages. So forget the headshot. Get a good distance from the camera where your face only makes up 8 to 15% of the surface area.
That's different. Interesting. So no matter what your size is, hey, guys, you know, women, put those pictures on there, you know, have that confidence, feel good about yourself, and put it out there. But there's so many stereotypes and myths that go with this whole dating once you, you know, especially when you reach 50 is like downhill, they say, for women. It's funny, some of the things that people are writing about and saying when it comes to this is that a woman, when she reaches the age of 50, should not date a man who's on social media. He has to be the same age as her, and is kind, and he has to be somewhat seductive. Do you agree with these types of stereotypes?
No, I'm not a rules person. I'm whatever makes people happy, do it. And, you know, I happen to be in the business of helping people fall in love, but it doesn't mean I have judgment for anyone who's doing anything. So if you're a 50-year-old woman and want to date 20-year-olds, go for it. If you're a 60-year-old woman and want to date 20-year-olds, go for it. Like, I'm all for it. In terms of social media, like, good luck. Because on Facebook alone, there's over 1 billion people on it. Like, people are going to be on social media. Maybe it'd be nice if they weren't, but they are. So, I mean, who cares? Find out if a person has the same values as you, if you have fun with them, and date them, and then fall in love and be happy. Don't make it any more complicated.
When I saw that one about social media, as a business owner myself, I am on social media, and I'm, you know, if I am connecting with another business owner, he's going to have a presence on social media. It will be there. And that's like one of the first places we check. We're going to look at the Facebook page. Who are they with? What are they doing? Is what a lot of people will see, what type of image and how they are presenting themselves. I mean, from a career perspective, I serve as a career strategist, and from the hiring, we even look at it then to see how is this person representing themselves. Because if you want to be by that person's side and hopefully in the picture with them on Instagram, you know, you're going to see what kind of character they're representing here. Even if it's not 100% who they are, it does represent what they're putting out there, their brand, their personal brand.
Absolutely. And humans are very intuitive. We can pick up from pictures and be pretty accurate, believe it or not. So if you're doing an activity or making a facial expression or, you know, it was funny. I was actually swiping myself on Bumble last night, Carolyn.
Yeah.
And I was like, this woman's beautiful. Like, I think I'm going to message her. I'm all excited. And then I get to her bottom picture and she literally gave me the middle finger. And I'm like, I can't be with that woman. So then, you know, I couldn't message her.
I think we've talked when we've had you on the show before, and we talked about people posting, like the guys will post with a pet, and they don't actually own the pet. And so you have this animal lover thinking, oh wow, he really likes pets, and he doesn't. It was just for show. You know, that's kind of that deceptive, who are you really?
Yeah, just be yourself. You know, it's, I know I said it's a math formula, but at the same time, the math, you want to be efficient with your time. So if you really authentically show who you are, then that profile is going to attract the folks that like who you are, and it's going to repel the folks that want nothing to do with you. So let me use an obscure example. If you're like wildly into Harry Potter, like put all that stuff in there, like put a few lines that you love Harry Potter. So then the other Harry Potter folks love it. And the people that are like, ooh, that's childish, run away. And I have no opinion on it. I'm just saying this is the most efficient way to get you to your person is being authentic, being confident, and showing off who you are.
So, is, you know, where are the best places for women, men over 40 to meet someone?
Over 1 out of 3 marriages is coming out online, so it seems to be the best place. And we're approaching 50%. The one-third data is a few years old, so it's rising.
So what you're telling me, if I want to date, then I need to be online.
You don't need to be. If you're the most social person and you're like a social butterfly and you can meet people in person, if that's you, go do it. And that's a great way to meet people. If you prefer to be in your pajamas or, you know, sitting at home window shopping, then go do online dating.
In the era of COVID-19, and this is where we are today in this world, how, I mean, is there anything that's changed that we need to take in consideration when we're dating?
Yes. A lot of things. First, the positive note. There is so many people that are online right now and want to connect. People are lonely. People want their partner. And it's just so much activity online. So it's a great place to find someone right now because people are on. They're captive at home. So they're checking their messages. It's a great time. You know, we used to talk about religion and politics, you know, potentially being deal breakers. Well, I think the mass, no mass thing is becoming, I wouldn't say a deal breaker, but it's making dating more difficult. I'd relate it to someone who lives far away. If you've got a person that's 100% like, I need to wear a mask. I'm, you know, taking care of my parents. I can't get them sick. Like, that person might be difficult to date. They may not be willing to meet in person. So just like the person that lives 600 miles away, it's more difficult. So with that being said, if you, you know, aren't taking care of someone and maybe are a little more relaxed on being able to go on dates or a little more strategic about when you're not wearing a mask, maybe you can find that person to date. Just like you don't want to find the person that's 600 miles to date, you're trying to find someone who's, you know, 10 to 25 miles away. So finding strategic people to date so that you can optimize your time. Does that make sense?
It does, which kind of leads me to another question because, you know, as we age, the population for dating is smaller. And I, you know, have brought up before for me, myself, as a, you know, black woman, it's even more difficult when you see the statistics for what's out there for who, let's say, who is receptive to dating black women. And people will limit themselves by putting all the restrictions of, you know, he has to be 6'3", he has to be this race, he has to have this job. Do you see some people now willing to go outside of some of these boundaries that they set for themselves in the dating world?
It's a good question. I mean, the data is the data, right? We do know that based on data, black women are less desirable than like a white woman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of dating, I think most people, especially when they're just looking for a hookup, are more open to everything. And especially with the way society is changing, more people are open to dating outside of their race, which is wonderful. But I don't see like any drastic changes. I mean, at the end of the day, if you write, you know, what your preferences are and you come up with the qualities you want, you know, it hasn't changed because of a pandemic. It's just what I have noticed is how polarizing politics have become, where folks, where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you could date someone who was a different political belief and you just, it was fine. Now, that can be difficult at times.
Because I, someone was telling me they saw in profiles where people will actually specify that if you support this party, it's don't even message me. I guess you are seeing more of that lately, that people aren't now, that's showing up in this whole, you know, the dating game, dating world is your political affiliation is going to make a difference of who is receptive to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of that happening, which is maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. But it's a thing. It exists. Basically, I would suggest folks to really determine what their top five most important things they need are, and if on the top five it ends up where they need a liberal or they need a Republican, and that ends up on the list. Then do it. If it's not one of your top five, then I would, you know, more focus on what your five things are, whether it be the content of his character or, you know, is he into fitness or whatever is important to you or likes Harry Potter. It doesn't matter what the things are, but focus on those five things. And if it does end up being politics, then absolutely, you know, make that a priority.
You know, I'm I don't know if you heard this, but and I'm not sure if they're still doing this, but The Bachelor was planning to do a show for those who are over 65, and the advertisement that they were doing prior to kind of thinking, all right, you know, they're soliciting and wanting applications for this age group being over 65, they were referring to the men as grumpy old men and the women as the golden girls. That's 65? Okay, that's what they are at, you know, 65, which I know plenty of people who do not resemble the golden girls at 65. And the application was actually for this age group. It was like 69, 70 pages long. They were asking them to talk about their tattoos and, you know, how much money they made and if, you know, your marriage broke up and why, you know, all this different stuff that was coming out with, you know, this perception of this 50, 65-year-old. When you have a show like The Bachelor depicting them that way, it kind of, so is this what society thinks of you when you're dating in your 50s and your 60s?
I hope not. I mean, like the folks I work with are just amazing, like worldly, like just incredible humans. Like I've got one client who is a veterinarian who's, you know, been to South Africa to work on rhinos.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like I just see, I mean, for me, I just see more experience, more life lessons, just a wealth of knowledge. And that's kind of how I look at folks that, you know, have been on this earth longer. And hopefully, you know, we just kind of laugh about this Bachelor thing. And but that's not how I view these people. I view them as just people I want to know, people I want to ask questions to, people I want to learn from, people I want to be friends with. That's not how I see it.
It's another myth that goes with this whole dating thing when you get to a certain age that it's they called it the BBD, that you're always searching for a bigger, better deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from you, and you've worked with a range of ages, and, you know, are people always searching for the BBD, that big and better deal that's going to come along?
You know, we do tend to do the grass is greener kind of thing. We've got to be strategic. I know I've talked about numbers, but there is a capacity and there is too many numbers. So at the top of the funnel, if we're messaging 50 people, if we actually had 50 people that we were trying to select from, we couldn't do it. If you said, here's 50 men, go on 50 dates and then pick one, we would explode. There's too many options. We couldn't make a choice and we wouldn't be able to. So ultimately you really want probably about 3 to 4 real contenders. And then from 3 to 4, you select one. If you get anywhere above, you know, like let's say 8, you're not making a choice. So ideally I'd say get to like 3 guys that look, you know, 2 to 3 guys that really look like qualified, or 2 to 3 women. And from that, pick one that, you know, kind of stands out from the rest. And then once you pick one, make that work. Have fun with it. As long as you're having fun, keep going. If it stops being fun, then, you know, maybe there's some changes that need to be made, or some fixes within the relationship. But
when
you've made
working,
your choice, don't keep looking out there.
when you work with clients, it's just not about getting that profile up there. You actually kind of coach them through those first dates. So can you talk a little bit more about how you work with clients and how they can contact you?
Sure. So I typically work with folks for 6 months. So all the way from, you know, potentially being single to into a relationship. And most of my clients, we actually get into a relationship in month 3 or 4. And then month 5 and 6, I'm still teaching them you know, how to keep the guy, which, you know, how to have boundaries, how men work, or vice versa, if men are listening, I teach how women work. And so I usually get together with folks once every 2 weeks for an hour on Zoom. And then everything we do together, the whole profile, the picture selection, everything is as a team. So you don't have to do anything by yourself anymore and guess on how to do things. It's, and, you know, come back from a crappy date and have no one to talk to or vent about or strategize on how to get better dates. We're going to do all of that together.
And how can, you know, someone find you? How can they find you on social media? I have to say, Mike has some awesome YouTube videos. I, you know, at least once a month try to hop on there, and I'll just binge through some of them. So they are fun, but they are enlightening and kind of give you that perspective. So definitely please let them know about your YouTube channel and, you know, how can they contact you if someone wants to work with you?
Yeah, all my handles are Easy Dating Coach, and it's spelled weird. It's the letter E, the letter Z, E-Z, and then datingcoach.com. Is there room on your webpage for, can I give them a free gift with a link?
Oh, sure. I'll share it on social media.
Oh, how fun. So we'll give them, let's give them 36 questions to fall in love. I think this one's so much fun and so helpful. What this is it's a science experiment that came out 20 years ago. And then about 6 years ago or so, it got published in the New York Times, an article about it. And it literally became the most read article in New York Times history. So people love it. And so I want to give you access to that article. And more importantly, the 36 questions. Reason being, I've been using this for the last 5 years, and I've had people fall in love. And so I want you to fall in love. And more importantly, I also want you to get to yes or no's on guys faster and more strategically. We go on dates. We don't know what the heck we're doing. We just go and have fun. You know, maybe that's the person, maybe it's not. But if instead you use these 36 questions to fall in love, you can come back and be like, whoa, this person makes sense for me, or ooh, there are so many red flags and so many things in the line, I should move on. So I want to give you those strategic questions. The way this thing works so that it's comfortable is the questions start as, you know, pretty safe. And then as you go through the 36, they get more intimate and more intense. So then you end up, you know, really getting to know a person. So it's a fun date and it's very strategic, so you can see if they could actually be your partner. So Carolyn can get you that, and also Carolyn, I'll email you that so you have it. And
you can tell them what it is now.
Oh, it's a long link. I'll have to get it to you.
So guys, you have to be. I want you to check out my Twitter at Carol R. Owens and check us out on Instagram. Let's Coach with Carolyn, and you're going to see the link to this 36 question. Quiz about falling in love and asking the right questions. I have to say, this is pretty cool because that's one of the things we get stuck on when we're trying to date and trying to figure out if this person is the right person for us. So you're going to see me blasting that all over my social media, along with a link to this episode so you guys will be able to have it all there together. Definitely want to check that out. As we are winding down the show, again, it's always great to have you here. We always learn something about, you know, this landscape and this whole dating thing because, as you said, it's not easy. And there's so many people out here right now who are thinking about it and they're stuck. And you can, you know, we had Alana Pratt. She helps with the mindset piece and helping you work on you to be ready for dating. So, guys, you have that, and then you need somebody to help you navigate through this online process, and Mike is the guy. 83% success rate. You're hearing some of all of his success stories, which we don't get to hear. We always hear the ugly stories, you know? So, Mike, when it comes to getting this whole dating thing right, what's that final takeaway you want to leave our listeners with?
Ooh, good question. I would say, you know, if you're divorced, widowed, or coming out of a relationship or whatever your situation is, once you're feeling super happy, well, one, hire me, and then we'll do this efficiently. But if you're not going to hire me and you're waiting until you're happy, go online and realize that this is going to be a math experiment. Try to leave your emotions at the door. You know, be cognizant that if you get 20 messages, only one of them is going to make sense for you. So realize that 95% of incoming messages are not going to make sense. Realize that if you check your notifications and you're getting messages, you know, one, two a day, and every time you check, you're like, ugh, that's not the guy. And then an hour later, ugh, that's not the guy. You need to chunk it. Just like you chunk your emails at work, you need to chunk this. And, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8 o'clock, you go on for 30 minutes and you're looking at, you know, anywhere from 5 to 20 messages, and then just focus on the guys that make sense for you. If you get 20 messages and one of them's good, devote your time to the one that's good. Don't even think about the 19 that don't make sense. So once you get that strategy, the math formula, and you're feeling happy, you can be successful. If you want help on process and a teammate, I'm here for you. But yeah, just make sure you get the strategy down, because this can be successful. It's just so many people are doing it wrong and have no clue. So don't get discouraged. You can do it.
And that's probably that, you know, thing that people, they get so discouraged. But even during this age and era of COVID-19, you know, whatever's happening in the world, you can do this. And I think, you know, having that courage, know, you know, yourself, be confident, and go on out there, post those full body pictures. If you're 200 pounds, 250, it doesn't matter. There's somebody out there for you. And I think, you know, it's like I said, it's always great having Mike here, because there's somebody listening who's going to go update their profile. They're going to reach out to you. We're going to get these 36 questions. And we're going to, you know, Mike typically comes back in February during our romance and relationship month, so we hope to have him again in February. Kind of keep, you know, what's trending, what's new, what we need to know about this whole dating thing. And, you know, even then, where will we be in this world during that time? So we hope to have him back then again. But we thank you, Mike, the Easy Dating Coach, for being here with us again on Let's Coach with Carolyn. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. You always have the best questions and the best follow-up. So thank you.
And again, for our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of Let's Coach with Carolyn. Now, you know, again, subscribe, check out our upcoming shows. On a Monday, we're going to have, I believe, Laura Knoll, and then we have shows planned throughout the week, this upcoming week, so definitely check those out. You can always go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, iHeartRadio. Find us on one of the platforms there. Let's Coach with Carolyn and check out the past episodes with Mike, as well as kind of recap and hear this one again today. And again, thank you so much. And guys, remember, if it ain't broke, make it better. Have an awesome, blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.